from the hospital. And Father, for the great news about Everett and all the other things that are happening. We lift up Danny, Lord, who's facing surgery, all the things that are occurring, Becky, my wife, all the things that are occurring here at Calvary, knowing that your hand is involved in all of them. We pray specifically and especially tonight for Gordon, Lord, that you would just comfort him tonight, give him healing in his body, and as he goes to the doctors tomorrow, just bring that perfect healing, oh Lord. Now, we love you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory tonight. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Turn tonight in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, so the book of Ephesians. And we're going to be starting there in chapter 1 tonight, and I'll be there in about 30 minutes, and that literally is going to be the truth. And the reason I say that, as you turn there, hold your place, I'm going to cover a lot of scripture tonight. I'm actually going to cover more scripture tonight than I normally ever cover. But something happened to me this week. Actually, it was on as I was preparing the Sunday sermon for the Haltom Christian School dedication. And I got hung up on one word, and that was the word power, or I should say the phrase, the power of God. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is the power of God, and meditating on that this week. And remember, one of the texts that I used was Zechariah 4, 10, where it says, tells us, God says, do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And it's amazing how God does rejoice, and when we start a work for him, the work that he's called us to do, amen? And we also learn in Zechariah 4, 6 that God told Zerubbabel, he said, listen, you're going to rebuild the temple, but the way you're going to do it is not by your might, not by your power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, meaning you're going to do it by the power of God. There's no way that you're going to be able to do it by human effort. In other words, or human ideas, or human strength, or human promotion, which is so prevalent today in the church, isn't it? Absolutely. No, are you not going to be able to do it by your own power, that mortal power, or by government or politics or voting it in or voting it out? God says there's only one way that you can rebuild anything for me, specifically the temple, and that is by my own personal power, the power of Almighty God. Now listen carefully tonight. Mankind should be absolutely overwhelmed and in awe of the power of God. Amen? But they're not. And I say this with tenderness in my heart, without any judgment at all. I believe the church should be really overwhelmed with the power of God. But sometimes I don't think that we are. And I think about God and how powerful he is, the omnipotence of God. I mean, listen, you know, God is all-powerful. He is God Almighty. I had a board meeting after the Haltom Christian School dedication service, one of the board members from Love Never Fails came in from Houston, was talking with me, and he said, Bill, do you remember about, 20 years ago or whatever, that you told that story about you were sitting at the dinner table that evening and, you know, and you'd prayed over your food, and Thomas was about, 5 years old or whatnot. And he said, Daddy, what is God's first name? And as God is my witness, I'm telling you, I was getting ready to give him a theological answer, do you understand? But the power of God flooded into our dinner, right there at the dinner table. And I look at him and I said, son, God's first name is Almighty. He is Almighty God. Amen. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. There's nothing that God cannot do. Amen. God, the omnipotence of God, the power of God is absolutely unique. Do you dwell on that? Do you think about that? Someone said this, there is nothing outside God which is possible in itself. That is an incredible statement. Let me read it again. There is nothing outside of God which is possible in itself, meaning God's the creator of everything. Amen? Absolutely, and he's in control. No one in the whole universe can do what God can do, the power of God. God's power is over all other power and all other powers, plural. You see, when you think about the powers that are created by man, if you will, in other words, all these other powers that we have today, which are hostile and they're rebellious and they're against God and so forth. The fact of the matter is that God is sovereign over all of them. Amen. If you remember when Pilate, when he said, do you not realize to the Lord, he said, that I have the power to crucify you, to take your life? Jesus looked at him and said, you have no power at all unless my Father has given that power unto you. Amen. Listen, God is power. Do you understand? There is absolutely nothing that he cannot do. And Job spoke of the power of God. In Job 42:1, let me read it to you. And Job answered the Lord and said this to God the Father. He says, listen, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Listen to me now. The power of God. Do you know that no one in all of creation can frustrate the plan of God or God's will? And that there's not anyone in all of the universe that can change God's will. Do you understand? He is the Lord God. He changes not, he tells us. Let me ask you a question. Is that your biblical worldview tonight, that God can do absolutely anything? Anything. I mean, nothing can, God, whatever God wills to do, he can do. Job said, you can, not can you, God. Boy, that you need to erase that kind of talk from your vocabulary, don't you? Because God can do absolutely anything. The most tragic words in our Bibles or from anyone's lips is when we say, can God? Remember what the children of God in the wilderness, what they said? They said, oh, can God furnish a table or prepare a table in the wilderness? Can he provide us meat? They should have never used the can word. They should have said, you absolutely, you know God can. Amen? See, the power of God, he can do anything. Jeremiah 10:12, listen carefully. It says, God has made the earth, and tells us how? By his power. Now listen, he didn't form it with his hands. How did God make the earth? He just spoke it. Can you believe the power behind that? Let there be light. Just saying it. Out of nothing. He created the worlds out of nothing. Bara, that's that word in Genesis 1:1. Just out of, there was nothing, and he spoke it, and there it was. I don't know about you, but that kind of power makes me stand, I'm overwhelmed, and I am in awe when I think about all that God can do. It says he made the earth by his power, he established the world by his wisdom, and he stretched out the heavens at his own discretion. Jeremiah 27:5, God says, I've made the earth. I've made the man. I've made beasts that are on the ground or literally on the earth. And then he tells us how. He says, by my great power and my outstretched arm. The power, the unbelievable power of God. Can you believe that God did all of that? He created earth, people, everything on the earth, and didn't even ask your advice. Does that kind of bother you? Didn't even ask your advice. Didn't even need your help. Why? The power of God. God is almighty God. He is all powerful. It says in Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. No other Savior. Doesn't that clear everything up for the world? There's only one God. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. God has no equals anywhere. Nowhere. No, he goes on to say in Isaiah 43:13, indeed, before the day was, he says, I am he, speaking of his preexistence, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, saith the Lord. And he goes on, he says, and who will reverse it? Who can reverse what God has done? No one. No one can take you out of the hands of God. No one can reverse that decision. God saved you. He sealed you with the Spirit of God. No one can steal you. Do you understand me? If you're truly saved. No. You know, when you walk out to the garden out there, you'll see, you know, those set of hands, and underneath it, you'll see a scripture that says this, and I give them eternal life. Jesus said, they'll never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Why? The incredible power of God. Revelation 19:6. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures. I will be in Ephesians, so you bear with me. One day, we're going to be there with the Lord in heaven. And it's finally going to be the end. It's all going to be over with. And it says in Revelation 19:6, it says, "Oh, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia." In other words, praise the Lord. Why? "For the Lord God omnipotent reigns." All powerful. That attribute is only ascribed to God and no one else. Amen? Man, I think, oh, Lord, incredible. You remember in Genesis 18, I don't know, I think it's verse 11, right in that area, whenever the Lord showed up and talked with Abraham, and Sarah was in the tent, remember, kind of hiding, and they heard Abraham and the Lord talking. And it says that now Abraham and Sarah, they were old and well advanced in age, kind of like me, if you know what I mean. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, and therefore Sarah laughed within herself and saying, "Oh, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, because remember what God had promised, that you're going to have a child this time next year. We know who that is. That's Isaac. And he said, "Why did Sarah laugh?" Can you imagine the Lord asking you a question like that? See, he knows everything, doesn't he? Sarah didn't think that she could be heard. You know, it says, "Why did Sarah laugh, Abraham? Shall I surely bear a child since I'm old?" And listen to what the Lord says. "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you say that to yourself every day? No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what difficulty, no matter how tired, how weary, maybe you've worked and not had a day off in a month or two, and you know, you say, I am wasted. Nothing is too difficult for God. Our condition doesn't matter. Do you understand? There's nothing too hard for God. And you know, I was studying out the power of God, and I don't know why I've never seen this scripture. It blew me away. Let me read it to you. Psalm 59:16. The psalmist, which I believe was David, said this, "But I will sing of the power of God." I don't know that I have ever done that, where I sing to God about the power of God, how powerful God truly is. It says in Psalm 62:11, it says, "God has spoken once and twice. I've heard this, that power belongs to God." Psalm 66:7, "God rules by his power forever." That means for all eternity. The power of God. It is unbelievable, loved one. But what about the power of God and you and me, the believer? It says this in 1 Corinthians 2:5. Paul writes that your faith should not stand or rest in the wisdom of men, but our faith should rest in the power of God. Whenever Paul talks there about the wisdom of men, he's speaking about the spirit of the world, that humanistic spirit, or that worldly spirit which is dominated by the wicked one. Man's wisdom can only go so far, isn't that right? Man's wisdom can't save us. Now, I'm talking about eternal life. There's no way man can do that. Man's wisdom, can it erase your past? Can it? No. Can man's wisdom forgive? Where you're clean and it's all behind you. And I can guarantee you that man's wisdom can never, ever make you holy or righteous in the eyes of God. See, our faith doesn't rest or stand in the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of man. Our faith rests entirely on the power of God. We need to keep that phrase, the power of God, living in our heart. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, I'm telling you, I'm going to get to Ephesians, I told you in just a few minutes. It says, "For the message or the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." Here it comes. "But to us who are being saved," there's that phrase again, "it is the power of God." Isn't that amazing? There upon the cross, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, was placed upon him. He bore our sin, he who knew no sin. And I think, oh, the power in the cross, the power of his substitutionary death for you and for me. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it, meaning the good news, for it is the power of God. There's that phrase again. The good news is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and unto the Gentile. Man, the gospel, listen to me now, when it's shared with other people, the gospel is the true divine manifestation of the power of God to those who are being saved. I thank God for the good news that someone shared it with me, aren't you? That God has saved us. See, the gospel is not about what we've been done. The gospel is about what God has done for you and for me. Man, we believed in our heart. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and he made us alive in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God, meaning the written word of God, the logos, it says the word of God is living. It's alive. This word, every scripture I'm reading, they're only dead to dead ears, amen? They're only dead to dead hearts. The word that I'm reading to you, loved one, the logos of God, the written word of God, the information of God, it is active, it's living, it becomes rhema, or where information on this page becomes revelation in your heart. For the word of God is alive, it's active, it's living, and listen, powerful. God's word is powerful, effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division, the soul, the spirit, joints of the marrow, the deepest part of our nature, in other words. And is a discerner. The word means to expose or to analyze. Is a discerner of the thoughts, the intents, or the purposes of the heart. Man, God's word is living. I am reading unto you right now the living word of God. You hold into your hands right now, either by iPad, iPhone, or the real Bible, okay? You are holding the living word of God, and the living word of God is the eternal truth of God, amen? It lives forever and ever and ever and ever. It is never outdated, loved one, never, never. Now, what makes God's word, what makes it living? How is this word living that I'm reading to you? It's the power of God. The power of God makes it alive. Amen? How is that? Because it's God breathed, as it says in Timothy, Paul writes. Every word of God, the inspiration of Scripture is all, it's all God breathed. And you know what's wonderful about the word of God? God's word, it says in Isaiah 55:11, it says it never, do you listen to me now, it never, the word that God speaks and sends out, it never returns unto him void. It accomplishes to what he has sent it for, amen? And I think, oh, the power, the unbelievable power of God. However, the word of God doesn't profit the believer unless it's mixed with faith, amen? See, you have to believe God's word. You know, belief is what, or faith is what activates the word of God in your life. What did the Bible teach us in John 3:16? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, what? Believes, that word, belief, trust in, rely upon, faith, activates the word of God. Whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. So you have to mix what God says with his word, with faith. It doesn't do any good otherwise. Now, are you at Ephesians 1:15? Now you're going to turn there? Now, I want you to look quickly at Paul's, he penned this in prison, remember? Now, let me just read in Ephesians 1:15, talking about the power of God. Now, watch. Now, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints. May that always be said about this church. Amen? He said, oh, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, meaning, or that's really the full knowledge of Him, meaning to experience the koinonia, or the intimacy, the fellowship with God the Father. This is not theology, loved one. This is a fact. This is not superficial knowledge. No, no, this is knowing God personally, a divine encounter. Today, in the world that we live in, there's so many people in the church, they know about God, but they don't even know Him. And it's so easy to know about someone, have a bunch of facts, but not have any relationship at all. And Paul continues and he says, "Oh, that the eyes of your understanding," or literally your heart, if you will, "being illuminated or enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling," not our calling, but His calling, "and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance," meaning Jesus' inheritance, "in the saints." Now, there with talking to us. Man, I look at that, and you know, what is Jesus' inheritance? It's you. It's me. What did the writer of Hebrews say? It says, "For the joy set before Him, He endured the shame of the cross." What was the joy set before Him? It was you, me, the saints of the living God. That's He says, "Oh, listen, the inheritance in us, the church, we're God's treasure." And then that divine calling says we're called to His glory. It says in Colossians 3:4, it says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory." Now look at verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of" what? "His power." The exceeding greatness of His power toward whom? Toward us. But only to those who believe, okay? Do you believe? "According to the working," look at this. Now, the working, the energy behind it, "the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places." Listen, that's what you call the power of God, amen? I mean, the power of the resurrection, the power, you know, to raise those from the dead, and then the power of the ascension. Go out to Bethany, where Jesus, when He ascended and He was received up in the cloud, went into heaven. Man, that's power. Do you know that? He just parted. He waved them goodbye. He's going, man. And then where did He end up? The ascension. He is seated now at the right hand of God, having all power and authority, heaven and earth. Amen. That's what you call power, resurrection power, ascension power. Man, no wonder Paul the Apostle, when he writes, he says, in Philippians 3:10, "that I may know Him and the power of the resurrection." Those are important words. The power of God, loved one. Look at verse 21. "Afar above all," meaning everything and anything, "far above all" what? "Principality," far above all power, far above all might and dominion, far above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Let any name in any generation, the next generation, if Jesus tarries, it doesn't matter. There is no greater name anywhere than the name of Jesus, by which all men must be saved. Amen. I say, "Oh, Lord." And it says, "And He put all things under His feet, and He gave Him," meaning the Lord Jesus, "to be head over all things to the church," which is His what? But not only that, "the fullness of Him," meaning the fullness of Jesus, "who fills all in all." Church, listen to me. The power of God. We are His body. Whether you believe it or not, right this very minute, if you are born from above, you are filled with His fullness. The Bible says that the word fullness there is, in the Greek, is pleru. It means like you take a glass of water and you pour water in it and it runs over the top. There's not any space left. We are overflowing. We are saturated in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I look at that and we should marvel at that word. Listen, what is it saying? It's when we say we're the fullness of Him. It means that what Jesus did in His earthly ministry, as you've heard me say so many times throughout the life of this church, what Jesus did in His earthly ministry. He now continues in his spiritual body, which is the church. We're his hands and his arms and his heart to the lost and those that are hurting. And how do we do that? There's only one way. We do it by the power of God. We can't do it in the flesh. We can't make it happen. We don't have the ability. See, to be God's whirlwind this year, which, boy, we're getting ready to really start hitting it in next month in August and September, we have to have the power of another. Amen? That's right. We have to have God's power. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in his might and in the power of God." You can't be strong in anything else. If you're not strong in the power of God, you're a weak Christian. Does that make sense? Yeah, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Man, what a verse. You know what that means? You're like a walking, exploding time bomb, if you will. Do you understand? You have the power of God living in you. What is the point of having the fullness of God in our lives, being in the body of Christ, having all this power, and yet not experiencing it? Does that make sense? See, we need the power of God. We need everything that God can give us. Man, I'll tell you, we need it right now in this wicked, fallen generation that we're living in. Let's go just a couple of pages. Look at chapter 3 and go to verse 14 with me. Yeah, Ephesians 3:14. Watch this now. Paul writes, and again, remember, he's in prison. He says, "For this reason," pardon me, "I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." He's still praying now, "that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with" what? That word means power. Do you know it's God's will for you to be strengthened with his power, with his fullness? That's what God wants. He says, "the riches of his glory, strengthened with his might through his spirit." That's how it's accomplished. But look where he wants this power operating: in the inner man. Do you know why the church is seemingly weak today? You know, we have 4,000 churches a month that close in America. Think about that. 4,000 who close their doors. Listen, the church seemingly walks in this weakness because it's not using what God has given unto us, and that is the power of God. We're the only supernatural family on this planet. We're the only people on this planet that are no longer in Adam. We are now in Christ Jesus. Amen? We're the only people on this planet who have overcome the world and overcome the wicked one, because we're in Christ who has done both and overcome death. Amen? And sin and all the rest of it. Oh, man. Listen, we possess the spirit of might. We're filled with his strength. Someone who is all-knowing and all-powerful lives in us. Jesus told us the last words of our Lord as he ascended into heaven. What did he say in Acts 1:8? He says, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not in you. You're already born again. That endowment of power, that promise of the Father, which is for every generation, loved one. Read Acts 2:23 there in Peter's sermon. Even those that God calls to afar off. Now, with all that being said, you know, we live in a time today when fear is rampant, yet the Bible says in Timothy, what, that for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, and there it is. Power, the power of God, not just any power, and a sound mind. Boy, that is a divine promise of God. Now listen, the power of God is manifested, loved one, in the inner man. But you have to feed the inner man living food. You can't feed him just anything. Your inner man will die. It'll dry up. Do you understand? What did Jesus tell us when he was defeating the devil there in the temptation scene in Matthew 4:4? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. Not a few words, not my favorite doctrine or my favorite passages, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, if you're not spending time in the Bible, you are going to be very, very weak. I mean weak, not powerful, not walking in the Spirit, not being led by the Spirit, not knowing the Word of God, not knowing your calling, your destiny, your future, what God has for you. Or when problems arise in your life, you don't know which way to go, where to stand, if you're not feeding your inner man living food. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says, hey, we don't lose heart. That means we don't quit, even though our outward man is perishing. And it is perishing. I looked in the mirror this morning. I know it. Do you understand? I don't relish in that. It's just, it is perishing. I looked at a picture the other day. Becky was sitting on the little couch, you know, and with the cat, and I'm sitting all the way across the room, you know, the chair that's molded into my image. And I went over because she said, would you pour my coffee? And I went and got the coffee and poured her coffee. I'm a great husband. And I looked at that picture, I said, who is that? She said, that's you and me, dummy. And I said, my God. Gosh, I said, I didn't even recognize who that was. You know why? Well, the outer man is perishing. But listen to what Paul says. Yet the inward man, the real Bill, the real you, the inward man, oh, is being renewed. Now listen, not monthly, not yearly. The inner man is being renewed day by day by day by day, just like as day by day by day, year after year, the outer man is changing. So the inner man, when you renew your mind to the Word of God, amen, every day you put the Bible in front of you, you read it, you meditate upon it, you ponder it in your heart, guess what happens? You're being renewed. You're being refreshed. You're being re-energized. Why? This is the living Word of God from the power of God that wants to fill your life, amen? That's what it's all about. And how do we do that? Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, squeezed into its mold, fashioned by the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God in your life. Loved one, you have to get into God's word, or your outer or your inner man. It just can't get it going. Now, look at verse 17. Paul's continuing to pray, and he says, oh, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that open door. That's where it comes from. That you, being rooted and grounded in knowledge, no. In religion, in the law, in the world, no. In love, meaning his love for us, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, and to know, that's gnosko again, to know by experience, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now watch. And that you may be filled with what? Not some, not 50%, with, there's that word pleroo again, overflowing, saturated with all the fullness of God. Listen, how can any pastor stand before you and teach that? How can I teach all the fullness of God? God desires to fill us, listen to me, with himself. God, the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Listen, think about that for a moment. I mean, does that not just keep you in awe and keep you in wonder? Does that not make you want to get a tambourine and rejoice? Praise the Lord, somebody got me a tambourine last week. I've been rattling it all week. Tomorrow I won't be here. Please, Lord, please. I mean, here on earth, but not here. I'll be throwing that tambourine if I'm here tomorrow, not rattling, you know. No, listen, all of his power, God said, I want to fill you, saturate you, my goodness, my joy, my peace, everything. I want to flood you. I want to fill you to overflowing. Oh, man, everything he is and everything he does, he says, I want that. What does verse 19 really mean? All the fullness of God. Pardon me. Well, it doesn't mean, as some people teach today, that you become a God or like, exactly equal to God. No, not at all. It means this, that God fills you with what he has, his love, his peace, his joy. You want to forgive. You want to love other people. You want to help other people because we're in Christ Jesus. See, now listen to me. If you are full of something else, what does that mean? Let's back it up. If you are full of God and there's no room for anything else, if you're full of God, how can that happen? There's only one way. You have to deny yourself. You have to empty self. You got to get rid of you. Does that make sense? So God is all in your life. Like Paul said in Galatians, 2:20, it is no longer I who live, or I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I look and I say, oh, Lord, that's what I want. But you know what? Christian, now listen to me. 21st century Christian, listen, this will never happen unless we stop doing something. We have to stop looking at self. There's nothing good that dwelleth in me except God. Amen? We have to quit looking at, okay, I'm going to strive or I'm going to make it happen. No, you can't make it happen. You got to let God make it happen in you. Amen? Isn't it great that we can just rest? And say, what are you going to rest in? I'm going to rest in the power of God. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can't do it myself, though. I have to be empowered. I have to have God's power because I am powerless without it. I'm just walking in the flesh, and if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. No. I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, there is absolutely no one like you. That's why he says in verse 20, now to him who is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly. God is able to do all, above all, exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Watch, all that what? Man, what are you going to do with that verse? What are you going to do with that? All that we ask. Not only that, all that we think. How? How, Lord? How does it happen? According to the what? And where is that power working? In us. Are you getting that? I say, oh, God, whose power? The power of God. Listen, you don't question. I know the church, they don't question the fact that God is able. They don't question that. God can do anything. But is God able to do it for you? Above all that you ask. Above all that you think. Because you've emptied self. You've denied yourself. You've taken up the cross. You're following the Lord. You understand? Where you're all in all, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's what he's saying right here. I'm going, oh, Lord, you know, that's what I want in my life. I want to be able to believe, Lord, that you're able to do exceedingly abundant. Anything I ask, anything that I think. Well, Bill, is there anything God cannot do? There's a lot of things that God cannot do. God cannot alter his nature. He can't die because he is life. Amen? I mean, he cannot sin. God cannot be deceived. God cannot lie. Titus 1:2, Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for God to lie. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil. James 1:13, he doesn't do it. He can't do it. There's a lot of things that God cannot do. 2 Timothy 2:13, God cannot deny himself. But when we deny him, he is faithful, so he cannot deny himself. Amen. No. Loved one, listen. You know one of the things that I really love about the Lord? God, you know, like if you have power, like if I start out in the morning, I'm better in the morning. Like on Sunday, I have energy. Have you ever noticed that? By now, I tell you what, when I leave here, I see the bed in my dreams. I see the bed while I'm driving. Do you understand? It's like when I open the door to my bedroom, I'm peeling off my shirt, man. I'm throwing my pants in the floor. I don't even want to brush my teeth and floss them. But I will. Why? I'm tired. I was in my office earlier dreaming about it. I could feel my bed. I'm serious. What I love about God, you know, something that God cannot do, He can never be tired. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. God, He can use power. What'd you do? Well, I just created the universe, all the stars, named it by name, placed them where I wanted to. Aren't you kind of tired? Nah. You can see God's power is never exhausted. Do you understand? The power of God is, what'd you do? I just created the entire universe. What you doing now? I don't know. I feel pretty good. See, He never grows weary. He's never tired by the exercise of His power. It says in Isaiah 40:28, this is what God says. Listen, He says, have you not known, pardon me, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He neither faints nor is He weary. He's never tired. He's never worn out. Why? He is God. He is Almighty God. That's the God whose power never wears out is inside of you. That's where you draw your strength from. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen. One of the greatest sins in the church today is to put a limit on God, using words like, well, I don't know if He can do it, or it's just too difficult, or, you know, whatever. I don't want to be like Israel of old, loved one, to limit the power of God. It says in, I'm so sorry, Psalm 78:40, it says, how often they provoked me in the wilderness, and they grieved God in the desert. Oh, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Limited means they drew a line and says, no way God can do that. It's too hard for God. He doesn't have enough power. And then listen to how they limited God. They did not remember His power. Is that you? Have you forgotten the power of God? Don't let the world convince you. Don't look to the world for help. It can't help you. Have you forgotten the power of God? Not only that, it says they forgot something else, the day when He redeemed them. Man, listen, why does God's power work in us? So we can be famous, boast and glory in our achievements? No, that's not what it's about at all. The church is on earth to glorify Jesus Christ, amen? Look at this last verse with me. To Him, not to us, to Him be glory where? In the church, in His body, by Christ Jesus. Now watch this. How long? To all generations. Praise God, oh God. I pray in Jesus' name that Your glory fill this church. Amen? Listen, the Bible says, Jesus told us, He said, whatsoever you ask in My name, and I don't want to take this out of context, and I don't know why that I probably got next to one of you guys, and those allergies, you probably had pollen on your shirt, and you hugged me. I love you. It says, Jesus said, whatever you ask in My name, that I will do. Now, that means that you also know God's word and you know that you don't ask amiss. Amen? He says, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything, meaning anything according to His will, anything, and the word of God is the will of God, He says, I will do it. I tell you, I believe in the power of God. I've seen such wonderful things that God has done, healings and deliverance and so many wonderful things. The Lord is incredible. He has all power. Nothing and no one can stop God. Isn't that great to know? And He lives in us. And it says that He's going to complete what He started, that good work He started in you, He's going to complete until the very day of Christ Jesus. Tonight it says God is able exceedingly abundantly above anything we ask or think according to the power that works in us. That's a big, big thing. What do you need from the Lord tonight? See, I don't know what you need. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. You don't know what I need tonight. But God does. Maybe you're addicted to something tonight. And you don't want to be. You don't tell anybody, but maybe that's it. I mean, you know, maybe, why don't you ask God tonight the impossible? See, nothing is too difficult for him. Why don't you ask him tonight? Maybe it could be healing. It could be wisdom. It could be your marriage. It could be your depression, finances. It doesn't matter what it is. Nothing is too hard for God. Amen? And you just come to him. Did you know that the Bible tells us, I know it's time to go. It is for me. It says in 2 Peter 1:3, as his divine nature. Man, divine nature. Everything that is God, everything that belongs to God, that his divine nature has given unto us all things that pertain to life. Everything that pertains to this life. Everything that pertains to godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. That's an amazing verse. It is a fact. Man, God has given us everything. Everything we need for this life that we live and everything we need for godliness, even though there are false teachers today saying we need more. We need this. We need no. We have everything we need right now. As we bow our heads to the Father tonight in Jesus' name, if you have that need, that specific thing, no matter what it is. It might be, Bill, I want to be married. I'm whatever, I don't know. But whatever it is, would you, by faith, reach out to the one who has all power, the one who is, there's nothing too hard or difficult for him? Would you not limit the Holy One of Israel tonight? Father, you know the hearts of all the people. I don't know their hearts, Lord. You know my heart. You know everyone's heart. You know my need tonight. You know their need. So tonight is the sheep of your pasture. Tonight is your body, the fullness of that fills all in all. We believe in the power. As they make their request known unto you, Lord, quietly in their hearts, I take them all with me to the throne of grace. I lift them, your saints, before your throne. The place that you call the throne of grace, the place of mercy, the place to find help in time of need. And obtain it. Maybe it's deliverance some of them need, Lord. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's the bondage of self that needs to be broken. Whatever it might be, that pride that comes from the wicked one, that rebelliousness that says, I want my will, not God's will, or Lord, healing in their body, loneliness, whatever it might be. Lord, tonight, by your divine power, touch your people. By faith, I believe it. By faith, they receive it. And we give glory. We give honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah to the one who reigns forever and ever. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all the church says, amen and amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? We're going to close with a song. If anyone needs prayer tonight, you know that the altar here will be open to do so. I pray you have an awesome week. Loved one, listen to me now. I say this to you because I love you, not to beat you up. Do not, please do not neglect your prayer time, and do not neglect the study of the Bible, the Word of God. You need, just like having a breakfast in the morning, you know what I mean, that omelet with the little pieces of ham and bacon, spinach and cheese and whatever else, the sinful things that you may eat. You need that, you know, and the orange juice, and you feel good because you need that. But you, if you're not, you don't have any power. You just have flesh power. You need spiritual power. You need the living Word of God. Amen? Make sure that you eat well every morning. And you will not be able to imagine what God will do with you the rest of the day. I love you with all my heart. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Let's sing to the Lord.
Church, may the Lord bless you as you leave today.